Let's bring in Matt Devlin. He's our Raptors play-by-play voice on Sportsnet. Matt, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Pleasure.
You spend a lot of time. I was going to say,
we're going to do a morning shoot around.
We'll do a morning shoot around too. Every morning you're on will be a morning shoot around.
There you go.
We will absolutely do a morning shoot around. What have you learned that surprised you so far in the preseason about this Raptors team? Anything?
I don't know that there's been anything, Jeff, that has surprised me. I think that there's been a lot of change and adjustments that ultimately, knowing the personnel that are now in charge, specifically with Nick Nurse and then the assistant coaches, and then also the players that are returning and then the new players, I think that it's gelled really well. I think if you've sat down and spoken to Nick Nurse in the past, you know how creative he is and you know where his mind will go from a basketball savant type of philosophy. And I think that that's all there. And then when you look at the players, I think that, you know, for Kyle Lowry, I think he'll eventually look around and say, you know what, this is probably the best Raptors team that I've ever had around me. And this is an opportunity for me to really go deep into the postseason. And as it, you know, pertains to Kawhi Leonard, by all accounts, everybody that I've spoken to, it hasn't gone just well. It's gone great. Just, you know, his interaction with other players, his interaction within the organization, his interaction in the community, you know, his interaction even, you know, with the media and, you know, coming out and speaking to the media when asked and going to the Children's Hospital in Vancouver when asked. And it's not like, you know, there are people that are quiet because they're trying to be quiet and, you know, that's not him. He's just a quiet guy. But when you ask him, hey, do you want to go talk? Or, hey, you know, what are your thoughts on this? He'll give you his opinion. So I think it's going well. Granted, this is the preseason. And I look forward to the 82 games that we're going to start next week, because I think it's not, there's not going to be anything set in stone, Jeff. And I think that's the exciting part to this.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. You know, how is he going to make all these wing players fit together and you'll be happy? I mean, how is a guy like C.J. Miles going to find time?
Well, you know, I think C.J. Miles will find time, especially with the way that they are, you know, going to play, right? So I was talking to Nick, and he started this offense back in 2007. There are, you know, different levels to it. I asked him what he calls it. He just calls it open. It's a lot of, you know, here are your primary reads, you know, within the flow of this, you know, to take shots. You have, as a veteran player or any player that's within the flow of this offense, to make a decision, you know, based upon, do you want to shoot the three or where you want to go within this. But I think that what we'll see is, and this is why we've seen Serge Ibaka play more at the five, right, is because you do have CJ, you do have OG, who's yet to play here in the preseason. You do have Kawhi, you do have Danny Green. You do have a multitude of players, inclusive of, you know, a player like Fred VanVleet that can play the one with Kyle at the two. You have Norman Powell. You have Pascal Siakam. You have DeLon Wright. It's the internal competition on this team. CJ talked about it yesterday after practice, is just immense. And he said it's been good. And he said yesterday, as I was, you know, listening to him after practice, you know, he talked about how chippy it's been, but in a positive way, right? That guys are really fighting for minutes. And that's something that you want with a veteran team. And that's exactly what this is. So I think that you're going to see a lot of different combinations. And then I think ultimately, Jeff, there'll come a point within the season where Nick and the staff will kind of pull back and say, okay, you know, this is the rotation that we're going to go with. I don't know that we're going to see that anytime soon. Tonight we're going to get, I think, an idea of who his 10 to 12 guys are, along with the fact that I would expect him, knowing what, you know, he did with Kyle Collinsworth in Utah, that he'll play Chris Boucher this evening back in Montreal. But it's going to be exciting to see, because there's not just one or two combinations that you could put out there. There's a multitude of combinations you could put out there.
Yeah, you know, when I heard Nick say that, and he talked about it a couple of days ago, my first reaction was, what if, though? I mean, what if you, the second game, you've got a different combination out there and it works? And I asked Jonesy this question, and I'll ask you it as well. Do we know enough about Nick yet to know if he's a hot hand guy? In other words, if he has a combination early in the season that's working, and, you know, he's dying to see how this other look, you know, looks, will he stick with the hot hand necessarily? Or early in the season, are there things he needs to see at regular season game speed, you know, to file away for later on in the season?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think ultimately we're going to have to wait to see how all that plays out. My sense of it is that it'll be a combination of both, right? Within mm-hmm. the flow of a game, within the flow of a matchup, that he'll go with that combination of players. But in having conversations with Nick Nurse, you know, I think he's really utilizing, you know, this regular season ultimately to find combinations, to find different patterns that will help this team in the postseason. Because we know that this team is going to the playoffs, barring a significant injury. You know that this team is headed to the postseason. The question becomes, how far can you get in the postseason? And as we know in years past, while you have this great regular season, all of a sudden now things clamp down on DeMar and on Kyle. And, you know, what outlets did you have? Well, now you have a lot of different outlets. And you also have this defense, which they've spent a lot of time on the last couple of days, that is at an elite level. So I still think that he's going to try out these different combinations. And it's almost in that mad scientist type of, you know, environment of, you know, which is exciting if you're a basketball coach and if you're a fan. Because you start looking at different combinations of players and what they can do and tendencies and, you know, where you can go against a certain team that ultimately I think will help this team, you know, in the postseason. I just don't think that over the course of the 82 games, whether they finish first or whether they finish fourth or fifth, they're going to be consumed by that at all.
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny you mentioned that, because I think in a lot of ways – And I don't mean to, you know, make everything about LeBron, but and I certainly don't mean to overlook the Celtics. But I think in a lot of ways now, where you finish, because LeBron isn't there, that becomes less of an issue. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I think for a lot of people, it becomes less of an issue. I mean, I'm not saying I'd rather, you know, halfway through the year we may be going, oh my God, Boston's so good. You know, we kind of wish LeBron was back with the Cavaliers. And but I think that it's going to be a different year that way, isn't it? Because you don't have that immovable object at the end.
Well, I agree with you. You know, when you look at it from a season ago, I thought it was extremely important to finish first because you wanted home court advantage. Yep. It was just unfortunate that you ended up with Cleveland in that second round matchup. That ultimately is what it is. And I think this season becomes a little bit like, comparing it to a hockey season, it becomes a little bit more like a regular season in hockey where, you know, just get into the postseason, right? Can you get the right matchup that you want? And can you get a hot goalie, right? It doesn't matter ultimately if you win the President's Trophy or not. It doesn't matter if you finish first. It doesn't matter necessarily if you finish eighth. Just get in and now start playing playoff hockey. Well, I think for the Raptors, I think there's a lot of similarities there where for them, yes, you want to finish in the top five or top four to get home court as best you can. But ultimately, it's a lot about, okay, this regular season, what are we going to learn that's going to ultimately help them achieve what they want in the postseason, which is you know, reaching the NBA Finals for the first time in a franchise history. And so I really believe that this is a 6-7 month journey that will begin October 17th, ultimately to try to begin a stretch of, you know, 2.5 months getting into the NBA Finals.
Matt, what have we learned about Jonas Valanciunas under Nick Nurse? But what have you been able to detect so far about how Nick plans in using Valanciunas? And I mean, there seems to be school of thought out there that Jonas might actually, you know, despite what everybody's talking about, you know, the number of wing players and 3-point shots and all that, there seems to be a thought out there that Jonas could actually really profit from being on the floor at the same time as Kawhi.
Well, I think that the way Nick has handled this preseason on a couple of different levels has been at a high level, right? Like an elite level. Number one would be a lot of 5-on-5 in practices, which they've talked about, because that helps Kawhi Leonard getting back into that 5-on-5 shape that you need to. And then the other thing is he's mixed up the lineups. Everybody is playing with everybody. He has started JV. He's brought him off of the bench kind of in a way of, hey, guys, it really doesn't matter, right? Like, JV, if you're starting, great. If you're not starting, it doesn't matter. You know, let's just, you know, talk about playing and the combinations that you're going to have out there. JV and Nick have a very good relationship. If you went to practice or if you went to a Raptor game and were there 2-3 hours early, you would see Nick and JV off to the side just having conversations. And they changed the way JV was used last year within the flow of the offense, where he did get a lot of touches in the high post. And so I think that it's a great relationship. I believe that whether you're going to see him start or whether you come off of the bench or whether he comes off of the bench, that, you know, ultimately it's going to be, you know, something that JV totally accepts and he'll end up excelling in it. You know, the one thing about Valanciunas, he's a team player. He is. I mean, you think back to last year where during the course of the season, he was not being played in the fourth quarter. He managed that well. And then all of a sudden, the playoffs begin, and what happens in the fourth quarter? you're playing him 11 minutes and 46 seconds, right? Mm-hmm. Because you need him in the postseason. And so, you know, for Valanciunas, he's managed kind of those ups and downs and the way he's been used well, and I think that that will continue. I think the big difference, kind of going back to what we talked about earlier, Jeff, with Nick and with this roster, is that you may see him out there in the fourth quarter because he knows that there might be an opportunity in the postseason where he's going to need to play heavy minutes. And that's kind of that learning process throughout the course of these 82 games.
We are going to let you run, Matt. It should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to Wednesday. It's about time to get this started, isn't it?
Yeah, a little morning shoot around.
Absolutely. Take care.
See you, buddy.